Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And I am very pleased to welcome you to today's program. No, we are not live. The reason we are not live is that we had planned to be live last week. I came into the studio chomping at the bit because there was so much to talk about. And they were cutting up the sidewalk outside. And they were making noise that would have transferred over in such a way where you probably would have caught every third word. And I decided to let Gino play a recording. But here we are. And just to avoid a repeat of last week, meaning, you know, come into the studio and then notice that something is amiss. Something is going on and I can't talk to you. I decided to come in a bit early and record this program, but it is fresh as of today, April the 16th, 2020. We are, same day radio, I guess. It's not quite live, but it's almost there. If this was Virginia and it was a baby, it would be so fresh. The government would insist that you can kill it. I know. Oh, what a horrible look. If you take offense at my words, but don't take offense at the laws that were just passed in Virginia, then there's a really, really big problem, let's call it, with your moral compass. So don't even get me started. I'm frustrated to no end, and no, it's not because of mandatory quarantine. And by the way, it's not quite the right verbiage, is it? Because you don't quarantine healthy people. You quarantine the sick to keep them away from the healthy people. So this isn't a quarantine, mandatory or otherwise. This is something a little more nefarious, and by now we're seeing governors of certain states take liberties with their powers heretofore unseen. And we're going to get a little bit into that. I know the, oh, politics again. Well, guess what? It's affecting you, isn't it now? Because pretty soon they'll have people posted outside your front door and they'll shoot you in the face if you come out in Michigan. Elections have consequences. I've been telling you this for years. Don't be lazy and don't be a stooge. Rise as a serpent. Do what you can, but no. It's the end. It's not the end. That's the problem. If this was the end, God bless, good night. But we got a lot of mud to drudge through before the end, kids. And if you're taking this in a panicky fashion, then the next 10, 20 years aren't going to be pretty for you. Just so we're clear, just so we understand each other. Gino just mentioned before we got on the air that the Russians and the Chinese are you know, pushing at the edges, trying to see if they can irk us. Well, of course they are, because they see that we're 300 and some odd million sissies. Vladimir, yes, Boris, did you see what the Americans are doing? Everybody is in their house. They cannot go outside. They do not cut their hair. They smell. But what is happening there? Is it Ebola? No, it's a cough. It's a cough. Look, I understand. Yes, okay. People are dying, but they die from the flu as well. Have you noticed that in all the statistics, deaths from the flu have dropped precipitously? In every one of these graphs and charts that they trot out every other minute, have you noticed that nobody seems to be dying from the seasonal flu anymore? Everyone's dying from corona. And yet the numbers are on par with what would die during a yearly seasonal flu. I talked about this the last time I was with you. It was about 2 weeks ago, and now people are starting to realize it. You know what? I should hold off on the things I want to say for a month, and then I'll be on the cutting edge. Because if I say the things that I say when I say them, everybody thinks I'm a loon. Oh, you're just crazy. Why are you such a crazy Romanian? You have to empathize. I empathize with all the people that are going to starve to death. With all the people that are going to eat, you know, a load of buckshot to the face because they've lost everything they've worked for and they can't stand to see their kids starving. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. If you think this is bad, wait till people start starving to death. 7 million during the Great Depression. Again, I honestly, I'm going to hold off on the things I need to talk about for a month, and then, I'll be on the cutting edge, because by the time it all comes, you know, rolling in, you forget the conversations we have. There was some senator or congressman, I think he's from Arkansas. I really like the guy, older guy, funny guy. And he goes, you know, yes, people are dying from this, but they die from poverty too. You need to understand that the suicide rates, even though nobody's talking about it, if they haven't yet spiked, they will spike dramatically over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Data is slow to roll in, but I guarantee you, unless, you know, somebody hangs themselves and cause of death is corona, you're going to see a spike in suicides. Because, you know, people that are already on edge, people that are constantly medicated, because, again, we've become a nation of sissies. We are soft. And the world sees it. And because we're soft both mentally and around the waist, the around the waist part, I include myself in it. Mentally, not so much. People are breaking over having to be indoors for a month. Ending their lives. There was a couple in Illinois. I read this article and I was flabbergasted. I stopped in my tracks. A couple in Illinois, they weren't married. They were, you know, coexisting, cohabitating, if you will. Anyway, they both started getting coffee, not as in the beverage that I will be sipping shortly, but coffee as in coughing. They went to get tested for the virus, and it was supposed to take 4 days. They became so despondent at having to wait 4 days. Their mind played so many tricks on them that he ended up shooting her than shooting himself. You know, as an act of mercy. This is how much this has been hyped up by the media. That people would rather end their lives than face coughing for a few days. Again, if you're in your 70s or your 80s, if you have pre-existing condition, if you have a, you know, compromised immune system, look, I understand, and yes, there I empathize. Put a mask on, stay indoors, avoid people, avoid crowds. But if you're healthy within reason, you go to get tested and then everything you hear is that this is the collapse of society, this is the end of the world, and if you catch this thing, it's worse than Ebola. You've got people killing themselves. And by the way, as an ironic sort of twist to the story, and I guarantee you can still find it on the internet, they both tested negative. That's right. They just had the good old flu. But every single day, it's just beaten into them. Oh, this is it. Horrible people on respirators, gasping for breath, finally dying. And it so affected these people that it was a murder-suicide. Tested negative. Now, there's a whole lot of different hypotheticals going around. There's a whole lot of different ideas going around. Look, one thing is certain. Everything that's a hypothetical is a hypothetical. I don't play the hypotheticals game. I told you about a month ago when they started bringing out the chart saying 2-point-some-odd million people were going to die in America. I told you, when that doesn't happen, when we're not going to get anywhere near 2 million people dying in America, is going to have to be held to account. Somebody's going to have to pay for inciting panic in people. We're at what? 60-odd thousand. A little over what the seasonal flu brings down. And for this, we shut down the entire economy. I guarantee you the ripple effect of shutting down this economy for this long will be felt for years, if not decades, to come. And you know what? If you do contract corona, odds of perishing are less than 1%. If you starve, given enough time without food, odds of perishing are 100%. Another thought. I know, I'm the man of deep thought today, but I'm so exceedingly annoyed that even believers, even people that I thought would have, you know, a reasonable response to this, are just hyperventilating. Let's keep it shut down for 2 years. And then what? Because no other nation, except maybe for the English, the French, I don't know, maybe the Italians, all the nations that went soft from being too wealthy. Let's put it that way. Because of excess, because they've had it so long for so good, there's only a handful of nations that would even consider staying shut down for a year or 2 years. Because there's other nations that are already up and running. They're like, okay, so? We'll wear a mask. We'll wash our hands more. I mean, if you're 80, you know, go tell grandma not to go licking handrails. But we have to work, because if you don't work, then you don't eat. And I'm so sorry. If you don't eat, you don't live. So we're going to have this cascading ripple effect that will be felt and seen throughout this country for a very long time. Because somehow we got it into our heads that we can save everyone, including from themselves. You can't save everyone. You can mitigate, but you don't mitigate at the cost of causing more damage than having done nothing will do. See, when the disease becomes the better option than what we propose to be the cure is, then we really have to take a step back and analyze what we're doing. Right now, as it sits, yes, the cure, long-term, for more people, is more destructive than the disease is. I know a lot of people around here that think they had it back in December or in January. I think my wife had it, to be honest with you. At some point, she started getting coffee, and yes, coffee as in coughing. Now, the kids had fevers for 2 days. They got over them. I was okay because, you know, I'm a workhorse and very little affects me. But you cannot, everyone, not to participate in the labor force, healthy or not, because you're trying to save everyone. Because that's what it's – see, again, the narrative shifts. The story changes. Now it's become about saving everyone, because when this all started, remember, we need to do this, they said, in order not to overwhelm the hospitals. Because if we overwhelm the hospitals – the medical system can collapse, and then it's, you know, it's very bad for a lot of people. Well, we did that. We mitigated. We stayed home. The curve got flattened. Less and less people were getting sick. And most people are going, okay, hospitals aren't overwhelmed. There's nurses and doctors posting TikTok videos of them dancing in empty hallways. If you haven't seen that, look for it. Believe me, there are a lot of things that just don't add up. And the human part of me, the decent part of me, doesn't want to believe what the skeptical part of me is thinking. Because we're not just shooting ourselves in the foot here by keeping the economy closed. We're cutting our throats. Some people will never come back from this through no fault of their own. And oh, I just muted myself. I apologize. All right, to keep the economy hobbling so that it would have repercussions for the next elections. I know, you are so cynical. How can you think this way? People are dying, indubitably, and they don't care. If you have not concluded that much, perhaps most, if not all, of the people in politics have absolute disdain for their constituency, for those that voted them into office, you haven't been looking. You haven't opened your eyes yet. Because to these people, to every bureaucrat, to every elected official, to every blowhard that's talking about, if we can save one life. Well, Governor Northam of Virginia could have saved a bunch of baby lives in the dead of night. He signed his post-birth abortion lunacy into law. So how do we elect? How do we choose what lives to save? Granny Annie at 95, who hasn't known her name since she was 82? Or a newborn baby? How many millions of dollars is Granny Annie's life worth at the ripe old age of 95? Where if you ask anyone that she's ever known, she's been praying for death since 82. Because if you start to do a little math and divide the 60-odd thousand people who have perished in these United States, some of them from corona, likely some of them not, but let's just say all 60,000 died of corona, and then you divide 60,000 by the number of, and yes, I know, oh, I can't believe you went there, Michael. Is it all about money to you? Money buys food. Food feeds people. Fed people don't die. Fed people don't riot. For the most part, fed people don't go to their neighbor's house, knock them over the head with a baseball bat, and raid their fridge. So yeah, kind of important to have a working economy with people who are getting paid. So all in, we're probably talking $8, $10 trillion. We've already spent $4, like it was nobody's business. They're wanting to pump another $2 trillion with all the lost revenue. I'd peg it about $10 trillion all in. When this is said and done, when we're looking in the rear view, wondering why we allowed Don the homosexual lemon and his chew toy Anderson the homosexual Cooper to just make us froth at the mouth and go nuts without using reason. When it's all said and done, I'm guessing about $10 trillion. Now, when it's also all said and done, I think we're going to be looking at less than 100,000 people perished. Not all of them will have perished from corona, I guarantee you. Realistic numbers, real numbers, are going to be much, much less if you don't add pre-existing conditions into the mix. People that died specifically from this thing, not people that would have died from the flu just as readily as they died from corona, okay? It's probably going to be in the hundreds. So you divide the number of legal tender that was spent, $10 trillion, by the number of people who perished, and let's call it 100,000. Round it up. We're at 60-some-odd thousand now. Round it up to 100,000. Someone with more time, you know, because most of you have free time now. Anyone with free time on their hands, please do the math for me. And we'll discuss it during the next week's program. But I guarantee you it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million. $10 million bucks per life. And the scary thing is that if we don't open up again, if we continue with this nonsense of safer at home, of lockdown, of whatever you want to call it, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And when you start seeing kids starving to death, then it'll come home to roost. Then you'll realize some fundamental truths. Because we talked about this, 3 weeks ago? And then as of a few days ago, I started seeing pictures of cars lining up to get free food. Food banks are running low. There's mile-long lines in pretty much every major city. And this is just the beginning. This is with people getting the $1,200. It's $1,200. How far will that take you? Because there's some people, send me the free money. It's not free, though. Especially if you have kids and grandkids, they will pay for your mistake. But let's get into a couple of stories. I know, not about this. Tell us about something that the future holds. The future holds devastation, starvation, genocide, war, earthquakes, pestilences. We good? How many times can we retread the same soil again? We know what the future holds. The Bible tells us what the future holds. And yes, I know, there's that mindset. Well, if we already know what's going to happen, then why bother doing anything about it? How many times have the saints of God, persevering in prayer and faith, changed the heart of God or changed the mind of God or allowed God or compelled God, not forced, but got his attention to the point that he tarried in his judgment? Go through the Bible and see how powerfully prayer affects the heart of God and how God oftentimes, having decided upon a thing, will go back on his own word because his servants, his creation, his sons and his daughters cried out to him. So I do not believe that indifference is an option. I can't. And in order for us to be effective, we need to understand first and foremost what's happening. Second of all, what we're talking about. Because, man, I stopped. I stopped going on Facebook. I stopped reading emails. I stopped doing anything, especially last week being Easter. And I know, please don't stop. I've gotten enough of the emails. It's Ishtar. Why are you celebrating? Okay, Passover. Are you happy? Is this an argument that we're going to have every single year? Is it? That's why I went dark, because I'm tired of these nonsensical arguments that go nowhere. Like the argument, if you call him Jesus, it doesn't count, because you have to call him Yeshua. Really? God's that petty? Anyway. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the lockdown and being within proximity of my wife 24/7. I'm not short fused because of that. I'm short fused because every year seems to repeat itself, and every year it's the same argumentation. And every year it's people throwing mud at each other, and every year it's people sentencing people to hell because they called it Easter and not Passover. And I'm sick of it. It's just, it gets so tiresome. But anyway, as we were talking about the repercussions of this a few weeks ago, we're beginning to see what we were talking about come to pass. Because the ranks of the unemployed have now swelled by millions. This is important. This is relevant. Because every person who claims unemployment has lost a job that they had before this entire thing began. We had the lowest jobless rate in the history of these United States less than a month and a half ago. And just of last week, the ranks of the unemployed have swelled by millions. New applications for unemployment hit 5.245 million in the week ended April 11th, Labor Department data showed Thursday. Economists had forecast around 5 million claims. Last week's initially reported total of 6.6 million was revised up slightly to 6.61 million. For the March 28th week, 6.9 million workers filed claims. The week before, 3.3 million. The new report, you got to listen to this number and contextualize it vis-a-vis how many people are dying from this thing. Because if this keeps on for longer than it should, all of these millions of people are going to get desperate. And desperate people are dangerous people. For the March 28th week, 6.9 million workers filed claims, like I said. Now, the new report brings the total of jobs lost to the coronavirus crisis. It wasn't to the coronavirus. The jobs were lost due to implementation of governmental overreach. And I need to make something perfectly clear because I've gotten emails from you. What do you think about your guy now? There hasn't been a federal stay-at-home order. Every one of the people that can't go outside, that can't plant their tomato garden. Have you heard this in Michigan? We're going to get into Michigan in a little bit. There's people that want to go to the store and buy seeds because, you know, they got a little free time. They're not working. They finished Cloroxing down their driveway. So, you know, they twiddled their thumbs. They thought, hey, I'm going to go to the store because maybe it's a good time to start that vegetable garden I've been talking about for the last 17 years. You know, seeing as some people couldn't find what they were looking for at the store, it'd be good to have a few veggies on hand. So they go to the store trying to buy some seeds, only to be told by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, nine. You are only allowed to purchase the things that we consider essential. Now, there are horror stories coming out of Michigan where people try to go buy car seats for their kids because they had a new baby. And the baby needed a car seat. And they go into their local store, happy that the child is healthy, the mother is healthy, waiting at the hospital to be picked up, only to be told, it is not an essential item. You cannot purchase a car seat for your child. It's against the law to have a child, you know, on your lap or holding it in your arms while driving. The hospital will not let you remove a baby from hospital premises until a nurse comes and sees that you have a car seat. Do you understand the level of stupid that has been elected to higher office in this country? Because now I'm just angry. And I know, I'm going to write a message. Go ahead. It affects me just about as much as what the weather is in Australia. Because I don't have to be accountable to anyone but to God. That's the beauty of what I do. So, that's happening in Michigan. And every state that's really, you know, tightening the screws, as it were, the screws are being tightened by the governors. There has been no federal mandate. And they really, really wanted Trump to come out and, you know, declare something to federalize the shutdown, the lock-in, the stay-at-home, the lockdown, whatever you want to call it. But he said, no, it's a state issue. And so you have states that are fining people for going to sit in their cars and listen to a sermon over a loudspeaker on Easter Sunday. He said, Easter again. Yes, I did. I apologize. Passover Sunday, does that make you feel better? And every state, with elected officials that are now acting as though they're little totalitarian lords and ladies, when this is all over, all of these people need to be called on the carpet, because it will be over. I understand there are some ne'er-do-wells that never want to see this end, that think they're going to get a check from the government every 2 weeks for the rest of their life. It's not going to happen. This will end. We're going to get through it. But when it ends, people must be called to account, because if they went this far with this, I guarantee you they're going to try over and over and over again to overreach, to control, because this is what these people are all about, control. They want to control your life. This is what is essential to you. I've got two toddlers. What's essential to me right now is Crayolas. They're out of Crayola. Have you had to spend an hour with two screaming toddlers in the house? Crayola's essential to me. And while we're still in America, you don't get to decide what's essential to me. I don't care who you are. Unbelievable. And we're all going along like so many lemmings, man. Yep, that's right. Put on a mask and put on gloves and stay at home and don't go outside. But what does outside have to do with it? Do you want people to die? Well, no, but I'm not sick. And if I see a sick person, you know, I'll just cross the street. It's okay. I'll assume responsibility for my own actions because I'm an adult. Fully grown. With the ability to reason. With the ability to, you know, equate risk versus reward, to do a little math, to conclude for myself whether something is worth doing at a time when it may be possible that I would run into someone who may have the coronavirus. But that's not up to you to decide. Just like it's not up to you to decide what's essential for me. Church is essential for me. You don't get to tell me it isn't. The more time passes, the more ways I see how a revolution can come about in this country. Because we've let this cat out of the bag. That's it. People understand that they can use fear as a cudgel to keep you in line. But even that, and again, I was talking to Gino earlier, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm proud of Michigan. Because yesterday was the straw that broke the camel's back, and they were out in force. And there's even sheriffs in Michigan that are pushing back. Four Michigan sheriffs said that they would not enforce Governor Gretchen Whitmer's edict. You know what? God bless those sheriffs. Because the edicts are unconstitutional. Just like, who was it? It was the guy from New Jersey who tried to be a carbon copy of Gretchen Whitmer. And he was interviewed last night on a talk show, and he said, I wasn't even thinking about the Bill of Rights when I gave my stay-at-home order. But you're an elected official, and you swore to uphold the Constitution of these United States. The Bill of Rights, it's kind of a big deal. I'm an immigrant, and I know the Bill of Rights is kind of a big deal. But the governor of New Jersey, I wasn't even thinking of the Bill of Rights. Elections have consequences. I keep telling you this. Nobody's listening. Come November, I don't even want to think about it. Could you possibly imagine El Presidente Joe Biden? Joe, where am I and where are my teeth, Biden? Oh, any hootie. Let's get into this with the Michigan sheriffs, because I've been jumping around, and there's a reason for it. I've been pent up for 2 weeks. I wanted to talk to you last week. It couldn't happen because of the road work outside, so I'm trying to fit it all in. Four Michigan County sheriffs said in a letter on Wednesday that they will not strictly enforce Governor Gretchen Whitmer's aggressive stay-at-home orders, emphasizing their oath to uphold and defend the Michigan Constitution, as well as the U.S. Constitution. God bless sheriffs, and to ensure that your God-given rights are not violated. Well, see, there's still a few. But man, give it another 20 years. How many more do you think there will be that consider upholding and defending the Constitution and men's God-given right, essential? Because this is what our education system has gotten us. Just sissified, soft, pudgy, malleable, idiotic, man-bun-having, slipper-wearing fools that load up on toilet paper but don't think about buying an ounce of food. This is the society we've created. And by we, I include the church in it because, well, the church has been silent. We've been going the way of the world for so long because we wanted the world to love us. We've been trying to mimic the world, from the way they dress to the way they speak to the way they act to the foolishness they embrace. So yeah, kind of blame the church there too. Sheriffs of Michigan's 101st House District, covering the counties of Manistee, Benzie, Leelanau, and Mason, spoke out against Whitmer's stringent orders forbidding residents' non-essential visits to neighbors, friends, or relatives. Silence and stay in your house. We shall send people shortly to see if you are staying in your house. If you are not staying in your house, you will be fined or jailed or both. If enough people do not obey, yes, me, I am the governor, Gretchen Whitmer. If they do not obey me, if enough people choose to reject what I say, then I will start shooting you. You're an elected official. I understand the power's gone to your head. You're power drunk at this point. But thankfully, the people of Michigan realized what's going on, and they came out in force yesterday to, you know, voice their displeasure. If people don't push back on tyranny, if people don't push back on authoritarian, just just authoritative people who have no legal basis for the authority that they're trying to impose on others, then the descent will be very quick and very, very painful. So let's get back to unemployment, because I wanted to give you some numbers. Again, we talked about this at length a couple weeks ago. The things that we discussed are beginning to come to pass. And this is only the beginning of it. So the new report brings the total of jobs lost to the coronavirus. Again, I'm reading verbatim, even though I don't agree that they were lost to the coronavirus, to just over 22 million people in the course of 4 weeks. 22 million people. The entire population of Romania is 22 million people. I'm just trying to contextualize the situation for you here. And you know what? If we keep this shut down another month, that 22 is going to turn to 30. And 30 million people is almost 10% of the population as a whole. I'm not talking about people who had jobs or who worked, because there was only, 140, 130 million working people. What are all those people going to do? Because you can't have a moratorium on mortgage payments forever. You can't have a moratorium on rent forever. You can't ask people to sit in their homes and do nothing forever. So something has to give. Now, from one humble man's perspective, we've done what we set out to do. We've flattened the curve and the hospitals were not overwhelmed. Is it not time, perhaps, using all precautionary measures, like, you know, washing our dirty hands, to open up the economy again? You know, before we have 40 million unemployed or 50 million unemployed? Before we start having soup lines like in the 30s, in the 20s, before we start using ketchup and hot water to make soup, the adults in the room need to stand up and talk about this eloquently, forcefully, because the other side doesn't care. To the other side, the math is very simple. The more people on government handout, the bigger their election victory. Dependence breeds obedience. There's nothing like a starving person that's standing in line to get a loaf of bread and some government cheese when it comes to, you know, pointing them to the right ballot and telling them, if you don't vote for me, that's all going to be gone. The other side does not care that millions of people have lost their livelihood. They're going to lose their homes. There's going to be a spike in homelessness because their dream is communism. I'm not going to call it socialism because it's not. It's communism. Their dream is that everyone be dependent on government, that everyone bow their head and hold their hat and grovel for a piece of bread and a piece of meat and a piece of cheese. Gretchen Whitmer's fantasy. When she closes her eyes, that's what she sees. The whole of Michigan bowing before her, scraping, begging for her indulgence. Madam, may we go to church? Madam, may we plant a seed? Madam, may we visit our neighbor? And she shall look down upon them and say, Nine! Nine, nine! You may not, but why? Why may we not?
Because I say so.
That's it! That is the only answer all of these little tyrants can give. These Napoleonic, just infant-minded fools. Because I say so. But we elected you. We didn't elect you to be our queen, our monarch, our lady, or our lord. We elected you to represent the people. Why are you not representing the people? Eh? Joke's on you. I am here now. I am not leaving. And you must obey. That's it. That's the long and the short of it. So, the next time you have a local election, whether it's for state Supreme Court or state government, you know what, or even your kid's school board, take a few minutes out of your busy day and realize that not doing so will have consequences. Look, the state of Texas has announced that they're going to be open for business or almost there by the 1st of May. I, you know, one of the reasons that I would move to Texas is Governor Abbott, to be honest with you. Not so much the weather, because, you know, I'm fat, so I sweat a lot. But, man, I like the cut of Governor Abbott's jib. I really do. Look, there needs to be personal responsibility. There needs to be personal accountability. But most of all, there needs to be a reminder that this is the United States of America, that this is not a monarchy, that malevolence like Gretchen Whitmer can't dictate to the people of a state what they cannot do or what they can do or what is essential to them. Because I guarantee you, if the people of Michigan would have let this one slide, if they wouldn't have been out there in full force yesterday making their voices heard, by noon today, the governor of Wisconsin would have probably declared the same things. Because they're cut from the same cloth. Impotent people that have been given power. Evers and Whitmer are cut from the same cloth. But I guarantee you, very few, if any, governors will now take up the banner of doing what she did. Because they're realizing you can only push for so long, so hard. And then that silent majority will stand up and make their voices heard. So what the future holds is uncertain in some areas, but very certain in others. When we will be able to go and sit down inside a restaurant and have a nice bowl of clam chowder or chili, well, I do not know, at least in Wisconsin. But what I do know, what I am certain of, is that if we don't take steps to reopening the economy of this nation, far more people will die because we haven't opened up this economy than will die of the coronavirus. And it won't be just the elderly, and it won't be just those with pre-existing conditions. It'll be a lot of people from a lot of age groups. that we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, that we're seeing progress in their lives, that we're seeing a betterment of their livelihood before everything came crashing down. So pray for your neighbors. Pray for your town. Pray for your friends. If you're able to do it and you know someone that's hurting, reach out and help. Because we weren't called to hoard things, whether those things are food or toilet paper. We were called to be the hands and feet of Christ. We were called to exhibit love. We were called to be selfless. And in a world growing exceedingly selfish, selflessness is one of those virtues that just stands out. So know that you are in my prayers. Lord willing, we will be with you again next week. I don't know if it'll be live because last week I got so burnt because I had a list of things I'd actually prepared, believe it or not. Last week was one of the few times that I'd actually prepared because there was just so much to cover. And then they were cutting up the sidewalk outside and they wouldn't finish. So we will see how we go about it next week, but we'll be here. Because let's face it, where else are we going to go? We're on lockdown. Anyway, may God bless you. May God keep you. I'm going to give Gino an extra couple minutes to talk because I know he wasn't with you last week either. So, Gino, the floor is yours if you've got anything to say.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Just a couple things. One, Mike made a good comment. You know, Evers is cut from the same cloth, the governor of Wisconsin, and they want to extend in our state another month of this lockdown, which would bring, and if this happened in most of the country, it would bring the unemployment rate to over 30 million. And you are getting close to depression level type figures at that. So I totally agree with what Mike said today. You know, there's a mentality out there, especially like with the governor of Michigan, to usurp authority so much past the Bill of Rights and our Constitution. And it's a microcosm, and it's a beginning point of seeing how revolution could happen in America. And as Brother Dimitri Dudeman said, and I urge you, go to our website, handofhelp.com. Check out the dreams and visions from God. They read literally like today's newspaper right now. God showed Dimitri there would be internal revolution in America. And though that was, people were skeptics about that for many years, now you can see the writing on the wall. It could easily happen. And the things that we thought would never happen in 2020, nobody probably went into the new year thinking, oh, by April we'll be in complete lockdown and our economy will be in nosedives. And now we're there. So it's an era where you can start thinking, the unthinkable may happen. The unthinkable can happen in our country. And the church has been very silent over a lot of issues, whether it comes to elections, to vote for decent people. 30% of the church don't even show up to vote. When it comes to a governor like Northam, who claims to be a Baptist in Virginia, under the cover of this whole lockdown, passes an infanticide law, yet he goes to a Baptist church. And, you know, this is just to God, it's a stench. No accident that in the midst of this virus, we have tornadoes and storms, and because God is trying to wake America up. And sadly, there's a scripture in Jeremiah, very haunting, that says, I would have healed Babylon, but she would not be healed. And that's the sad epitaph one day that could be over America, that God tried to wake America up, the so-called Christian country that has gay marriage and gay parades and a disdain in our colleges for the word of God and the Lord through many liberal assaults against the Bible, assaults in our courthouses against putting a Ten Commandments in the Rotunda, like happened in Alabama, an assault against Christians who want to pray in high school, an assault against the preborn that are at the Holocaust claimed millions of lives. The Holocaust of abortion claimed almost 60 million lives. And so, like Mike said, and my prayer is that we wake up and listen to God's warnings and respond to them. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
This is the Light.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.